quickly, one word, and the Nevi'im first. We learned a little Navi on Fridays, as you know. We're learning the book of Shofetim, the book of Judges. So the... Vaya'al Malach Adonai min Gilgal el Abochim. ויאמר אעלה אתכם ממצרים ואביא אתכם אל הארץ אשר נשבעתי לאבותיכם ואומר לא אפר בריתי אתכם לעולם ואתם לא תכרתו ברית ליושבי הארץ הזאת מזבחותיהם תתוצון ולא שמעתם בקולי מה זאת עשיתם וגם אמרתי לא אגרש אותם מפניכם והיו לכם נצידים ואלוהיהם יהיו לכם למוקש והיא כדבר מלאך אדוני את דברים האלה אל כל בני ישראל וישאו העם את קולם ויבכו ויקראו שם המקום ההוא בוכים ויזבחו שם לאדוני. It's a story over here. This is the book of Shofetim. We do it on Fridays. No, it's fine. We did Yoshua last year, now we're doing Shofetim. So over here, till now there was no issues. Everything was fine. We were reading about how the Jewish people were finishing up some of the business that wasn't finished in the times of Yoshua. They were conquering some unconquered lands. Last week we learned about Bet-El, when they went into the city of Luz, to the tree. Everything was fine. All of a sudden, in chapter 2 of the book of Shofetim, things start to deteriorate quickly. So it says a malach comes down from wherever he comes down from. Vaya'al malach Hashem. Min Gilgal el Bochim. He went from Gilgal to Bochim. So the sheik comes over here and says, "Vaya'al malach, sheninu beseder olam zehaya pinehas." So this is an angel, but it's really not an angel. It's an angel slash human being, and that's Pinehas. Pinehas, exactly. Pinehas is able to to metamorphosize between human and angel, because Pinehasu Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi is a very unique character. Eliyahu Navi, when he wants to be an angel, he becomes an angel. Wants to be a human, he becomes a human. So, all of a sudden, Pinehas, who we know already, had something to do with the Kibush Ha'aretz. If you remember in the book of Yoshua, Yoshua would send two spies to spy out the land. And the two spies were Kalev and Pinehas. So Pinehas was already there from the beginning. This is 14 years prior, he was on this mission. And he came to the house of Rahav HaZonah, if you remember. And the Gemara says they went to Rahav HaZonah for the simple reason why they went to Rahav HaZonah, because being that she was in the Zonah industry, so therefore she had people by her all the time, so she knew, and even then all the senators, you know, they're going to, what do you think they're doing, the senators? They're beating up on Kavanaugh, because 30 years before he went to a party, mixed dancing. And what do you think they're doing, these guys? What are they doing there, the Sadiqim? So anyway, what happened was they go to the Rahav HaZonah, because they knew she would know information. What are the politicians saying? And they were right, because the Rahav HaZonah said they're scared, they're afraid, and they have no morale, and it's very, very weak. Therefore, if you come in now, you're going to be able to win. She gave them good advice. But the Mekubalim ask, you know, there's no other place for them to get information. You take two tzaddikim, Kaleb bin Yefuneh bin Ahaz, and they go to the Bet HaZonah, the Abba Zonah. I mean, it's incredible that they would even go into such a place. And the Mekubalim say that this was, of course, to make a tikkun, that in order for Am Yisrael to be Kovesh Eretz Yisrael, so a lot of it has to do with the tikkun of the Yesod. Eretz Yisrael is considered Eretz, anything that's the ground is the lowest part. In the Sefirot, Keter is the highest Sefirah, and the lowest Sefirah is Malchut. So the Eretz is considered Malchut. What's right above Malchut? Yesod. The way to get to Malchut is Derech HaYesod, which is the Brit Milah. The Kanaanim, you see, they were perverted. They were going to the Havazonah, doing all these Averot. Finished. They lost their rights. So therefore, they had to go to the Havazonah and break the Kalipah of Znut. So they were doing Tikkunim over there. They weren't just Stam, you know, visiting a Zonah. And by them not even having any connection with her, I mean, they weren't even had one Hirhur. They had to go there without any. So they went into the lion's den, which is a tremendous amount of Mesirut Nefesh, in order to subjugate the Kalipah of Znut, because they knew that Derech HaYesod leads them to the Malchut. For example, when David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, when he was the king, he went with Bathsheba. Not going through the whole story now. But we know David HaMelech, whatever he did, wasn't what it says in the book he did. But nonetheless, it was for David HaMelech considered a problem. And the moment he went with Bathsheba, what happened to his kingdom? He lost his kingdom. Again, because he's a melech, that's Malchut again. And once the Yesod was compromised, already Malchut is lost. Where is? In the case of Yosef HaSadiq, he was Shomer HaYesod. And what happens to Yosef right after that? He becomes melech. So you see, always before Malchut, it has to come Derech HaYesod. Anything that has to do with Eretz Yisrael specifically is in Yan of the Yesod. So therefore, they had to go to this place over there and knock the Kalipah out. So Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua Ben Nun sent the two biggest Sadiqim. Kalev, who already was a seasoned veteran spy, he was one of the two that succeeded. So he had no problem with Kalev Ben Yefuneh. And he sends Pinehas, who was an angel. And as a matter of fact, if you remember the book of Yoshua, it said that when they had Pinehas and Kalev were there at a house, at the Havazonah's house, so the Pasuk says, she hid them. They had to hide because the authorities were coming. So the Pasuk says, Vatitzpeno. Vatitzpeno is singular. Mm. It should say, Vatitzpenim. Pinehas told Rahab, you don't got to worry about me, I'm an angel. So I could snap my fingers, abracadabra. And when I want to be nir'eh, I can be nir'eh. When I don't want to be nir'eh, I don't have to be nir'eh. So this Pinehas is the Malach. So this Malach over here now, that the Pasuk is coming along to give Musar, he's going to give Musar to Jewish people. So it says it was Pinehas. So what is the Musar that he says? Vayal Malak Hashem min Gilgal el Bochim. He went from Gilgal to the Bochim. Now what is this? What are these two locations over here? Min Gilgal el Bochim. What is the mention of these two places over here? Well, this place, Bochim, as we'll soon see, was not called Bochim. It's going to be called Bochim at the end of the parasha, because they're going to cry. After he gives his speech, he gives a very, very strong Musar. And when the people heard the Musar of Pinehas, they're going to cry. So at the end it says, and then it says, so they call the place, you know, Bochim, crying. What was he rebuking them on? So it says over here, "Vayomer, aale etchem mitzrayim." The plan was to take you from Mitzrayim, "Va'avi etchem la'aretz." The goal was to go straight from Egypt to the Holy Land. stop off at Har Sinai to pick up the Torah, which is the major, it's a major event to pick up the Torah. Though our friend from London, when he talks about Matan Torah, he calls it a pit stop. Yeah, I mean, to him, like, Matan Torah was like, you know, they had to stop off at 7-Eleven to pick up some Slurpees before they get into Eretz Yisrael. So the pit stop, they got out, they got the Torah Har Sinai, but he doesn't give too much credence to, you know, to the event of Har Sinai. You know, the main thing was to get to Israel, and they stopped off on the way to pick up some, you know, they were selling books at Har Sinai, so they picked up a book. Unbelievable, this guy. V'avi etchem el ha'aretz, asher nishbarti l'avotechem. So it says the goal was to leave Mitzrayim. And God said, I will never break my treaty with Klal Yisrael forever. That was my original plan. Even though I was angry at Klal Yisrael, I said, I'll never forsake them. And I warned you, do not make any treaties with the people of the land. You have to break all their idols and their avodah zaraz. Problem is, they didn't listen. Here's where the book of Shofetim begins. The people got settled, and they didn't follow the instructions that God told Yeshua, that you can't be friends with the goyim, you can't assimilate with them, you got to destroy all the avodah zaraz. Mazot asitem. So Pinchas says, what did you do? V'gam amalti lo agaresh otam epenechem. And I warned you. I said, I'm not kicking all the goyim out. On purpose, God kept some goyim in the land of Israel. V'ayu lachem litzidim. So there can be thorns in your sides. Which means God kept a check against the Jewish people. That if the Jewish people are going to misbehave, the goyim will be right there to attack. He said, that's what's going to happen now. The Jewish people cried at that time. And they brought korbanot. This over here is coming as a result of Bnei Yisrael conquering the land and making treaties with the goyim, and already this became the beginning of all the trouble. So one word on this over here. I mean, you have a Masechet Shabbat, regular one. The reaction of Klal Yisrael is to cry. Obviously, if Pinchas was the one that was sent to give this Musar, obviously there was a problem with them intermingling with the Goyim, and we know what happens when they intermingle with the Goyim, there's assimilation. And Chas v'Shalom, there's assimilation, then there's intermarriage. So all these things lead to all these big Averot. So the prophet was, Pinchas was sent because he is the prophet of the Brit Milah. It was Pinchas that went, if you remember when the Jewish people were committing znut in the times of Midian. And who was the one that came with his kanaut with the romach biyado? And he went and he killed Zimri and Kozbi. It was Pinchas. So Pinchas, when it came to Inyanel Yesod, Pinchas was the zealot. So therefore, he's sent now again in order to give a rebuke to the people. Now, what are you doing over here? You're making these treaties with the Goyim. You're getting close to them. And therefore, he held that it's putting the whole Eretz Yisrael in jeopardy, and they're going to lose their standing. Bnei Yisrael, if you remember at the time when Pinchas did his zealotry, we have a regular Humash. Beautiful. What did it say over there when he was doing the zealotry? What was Klal Yisrael doing at the time? Where is that story with Pinchas? Huh? Oh, it's in Pinchas. And the Balak. So it says over here, Vayitzamed Yisrael leBaal Peor. They got drawn to Baal Peor. V'hineh ish v'b'nei Yisrael ba'a v'yakrev elehav l'midyanit l'enem poshe ul'enei kol adat b'nei Yisrael. He was doing the act. And what was Klai Yisrael doing when they saw him doing the act? V'hem abochim. And they were crying. So there was a bechiya. So, and over here you see also, after Pinchas makes his crying again. So always when Pinchas is involved with something, it's a bechiyot. Pinchas already evokes bechiyot. What is the sod of these bechiyot? So the Mekubalim say something very, very significant. The Mekubalim write that there's two parts of the body that emit drops. The yesod is the tipot of zera, and the eyes is the tipot of bechi, of dema'ot. And therefore, the mekubalim write that the tikkun for the avon of the yesod is in the dema'ot. That for all the tipot that were wasted, that when a person cries during the teshuvah, during the tikkun, so these drops over here that come out are metaken, has b'shalom, the tipin, that are... So when Pinchas was coming to kill Zimri, the people saw the avon of Zerah over here in Bat El Nechar. So the v'hem abochim. So Klai Yisrael had to make a tikkun of what? A bichiyah. That's the kapara for this type of avon. And here again, where you see Moshe, Pinchas comes again and is giving them musar, you're going with the goyim, you're getting close. So right away, they understand that the reaction for this is, has to be demaot, has to be crying, has to be tears. That's not a coincidence. Now I will point out that for this, there's an amazing perush in the Gemara Berachot. In the back of the book, see if I can find it. There's a rabbi in the back of the book called Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher.
And then
he's Ashkenazi. But Eliyahu could go either way. Eliyahu is Gutmacher. Gutmacher. Let's see if we could find it. He says a big secret. It should be on Daf Kuf Lamed. Masechet Shabbat it is. Look what he says here. So he's talking about the eighth or the sixth chapter of Tehillim. The sixth chapter of the Tehillim is what? In the sixth chapter of the Tehillim, Lamnaseyam binginot al Sheminit Mizmor de David. So the Sheminit has to do with the Brit Milah. Because the Milah is done on the Sheminit. So he writes, V'yesh be'olelot Ephraim, Amud Yutet Siman Tasat, Kavanat Mizmor Vav, V'gam Het Al Milah, V'ulam Ya'an Shekitzer Gevra V'tosfot, להשמיד מגינות כיוון דעיקר הוא על תיבת השמינית. פיין. So assuming it's the sixth chapter. He's bringing back and forth. Is it the sixth chapter? Is it the eighth chapter? But it's the sixth chapter. Then he says, "V'mizmor ma'iri mirefuah ba'ad ha'yelid ha'nimol." So this chapter is talking about the fuot. The fa'eni Hashem. Why the fa'eni Hashem? Because it's the milah. So the child who has the brit milah needs the fuah. That's why, for example, the eighth beracha and the amidah is the fa'enu. The eighth beracha is the fa'enu. That's why somebody once asked me, why do you say Rofeh Ole Amo Yisrael? What are you, prejudiced? You're against the goyim? We should say Rofeh Ole Basar, Mafil Asol, like an Asher Yatzar. Why Rofeh Ole Amo Yisrael? Only the Jewish people? So the answer is, because since in the eighth beracha was specifically praying for the brit milah, so that's why we specifically mentioned Rofeh Ole Amo Yisrael, because the goyim don't have a brit milah on the eighth day. And then we're not against praying for goyim. We pray in Asher Yatzar, Rofeh Ole Basar. But when it comes to the eighth beracha of the Amidah, it specifically has to do with the inyan of the milah. So anyway, in this sixth chapter over here, the pasuk says, Refa'ah, Refa'eni Hashem. So it gives a remez to the brit milah. And then he writes, Vegam ita be'olot Ephraim, shekol chole hametpalel, o betfila avur hanimol. At a brit milah, you should pray for the baby. That's just had a major operation. And you should say the words that are in this chapter. In the chapter it says, Honeni Adonai ki umlal ani. Have mercy on me, Hashem. Ki umlal. Umlal means I'm weak. I have no koa. Ki umlal ani. So the Olelot Ephraim says, on the word umlal, that umlal is like a rashi tevot. What does umlal stand for? Ki umlal ani she'ani nimol. So umlal she'ani nimol, meaning because I'm being circumcised. So then he says, v'gam yechaven kol adam al sarotav. And then at the time that you're praying for the nimol, you should mechaven for your own situations. Be'et bechi hanimol. At the time that the nimol is crying. So always when they say, Hazak Baruch, but you don't know where the source was. Everybody says, oh, you pray. But now he's telling you that the source is Olot Ephraim. Yechaven kol adam al tsarotav. Be'et bechi hanimol. Mi yisurei hamilah. Why? So he says, shekol zeh, the voice of the baby. The voice of the baby when he's crying for the brit milah, ole beli moneya mikol kilipa. It's a pure crying of a child. There's no obstruction. When a person prays, there's kilipot that block the tefillot. Because of his averot, because of whatever. But when a baby is crying after he just did a mitzvah, you can't get a more pure cry than that from a more pure place than that. So therefore that tefillah of that crying which breaks the riki'im, so therefore he says you have to piggyback on that crying of the tinok and throw in all your items at that time so it'll, when the baby cries with those tears, it'll take your tefillot up with it. So it's a tremendous etratzon when you go to a brit milah. The main brother milah is not the locks, Elliot, downstairs. We know that's important to many of our members as well. But the main item is to catch the moment when the baby is crying. But the whole key is you have to pray for him also.
Mm-hmm. That's the
pre-record. No, you pray for you. This is all the nouveau people that forget the main yesodot. Selfish. Baby's chazi just went to a brit milah. He's crying his brains off. He's saying, Hashem, give me money. Give me. Pray for the kid, maybe. Pray for the kid first. The kid's crying, Aziz. No, leave the kid. You're using the kid for your own eye. Maybe pray for the kid first. Maybe pray for the kid first. Maybe that enters your mind. Forget about, you don't need a Gemara for that, honey. You need a Gemara to tell you to pray for somebody who's crying. Haimi found the source that if somebody's crying, you should pray for them. It's also a Gemara somewhere. It's a Befirush Atid Ne'eman also, I'm sure. Now listen to this. Listen to this. When I had my daughter's wedding, I went to one of the rabbis from the Kollel Chatzot, and I told him they have this item that they give out, you know, these cards during the ceremony, Te'ilim, and all sorts of prayers and all that
during the
wedding ceremonies. So I said, "What do you think of it?" He says, "Well, I'll tell you what I think of it." They lost the whole kavanah of that also. He said, the kavanah of that was that the people should pray for the hatam bekalah. But again, everything turns into a selfish item. Oh, they're getting married. Let me get a benefit to get my own item involved. Therefore, you're praying for your own item. And good luck to these people who I gave them a $50 bond. In 10 years, it'll be worth 50 bucks. Don't leave them alone. What do you want from me?
That's from ignorance.
I'm revealing this ignorance. How are they going to know if I don't teach it to them? I'm revealing it. Should you want to remain ignorant or should I teach it to them? The main thing is you pray for the hatam bekalah. So he said, if you're making up cards, you should print. Please pray for the success of the hatam bekalah. I put 2-3 tefillot. Now, after you pray for the hatam, you want to throw in your own item. Baruch haba. Not against it. There's nothing wrong to pray, but you're forgetting the ikar. It's like, imagine I tell you, there's a sigula brought down in the books that when you make the mitzvah bikur cholim, it's such an etratzon that whatever you ask for from God, you're gonna get answered. So the guy goes to the hospital ward in Maman. He's the guy's lying back over here. He says, "Give me a hand." Oh yeah. The Bono Shel Olam, tell me parnasa ve osher ve kavod. What about the fuah shel emat to the guy? No, this is a kamiya. I need the guy's hand. Because they told me to sigula bikur cholim for panatza. And you forgot to tell the guy feel better. Because you don't care about the guy. You just want to do the mitzvah to get the perk at the end of it. So this is the pshut of the people. So he says when you get to the Brit Milah, first you have to play for the nimol, for the kid. The kid's crying his brains out. He just got the, you knew what he was going to get into. He didn't know what he was getting into that day. His mother dressed him up in a nice white robe, put a nice kippah on him. He thought he's going to Nelly Bly to go on the ride. He didn't know what he's doing. He had no idea. And they carry him in. Everybody's singing Pizmonim for him. They're holding him up. He doesn't know anything. Now, all of a sudden he sees, the mohel start to fool around. He says, "What's going on over here?" Before he knows it, he's, so therefore he says, you have to pray. But then he says, "Vegam yichaven kol ad, vegam yichaven, vegam yichaven, vegam." Maybe not agav, but after you finish the main item. You can't get lost in this here. All these new sigulot. Yeah, I saw a lady once, she's taking challah. So they told her, when you take challah, you pray for this one, pray for that one, pray for the other one, do this thing, that thing. But she got so caught up in the eye, she didn't know how to take the challah correctly. Oh, you didn't do the mitzvah of challah, you're too busy praying for, this item that they told you the challah can bring you. But first you got to do the mitzvah the correct way. Yeah. But we make from the ikar tafel ikar. Anyway, he says, וגם יכוון כל אדם על צרותיו בעת בכי הנימול, at the time that the kid cries, מייסורי המילה, שכל זה עולה בלי מונע. This call goes up without any מונע, any obstacles, מכל קליפה שיכלול. וגם תפילתו על זה נאמר. Now, by the way, what does it say in that תהילים? It says in that same תהילים, Shama Adonai Tichinati, Adonai Tefilati Yikach. It's beautiful. In that same Tehillim that says, Honeni Hashem ki umlal ani. Honeni Hashem, have mercy on the umlal. Umlal is the nimol. And then it says in the same chapter, Shama Hashem Tichinati. God hears my own prayers. Hashem Tefilati Yikach.
Number six.
Yes. כלומר, בכי הילד הנימול, שמה השם תכנתי, השם תפלתי ייקח, והוא עצה נפלאה. He says, it's a good advice. Take the advice. ולכן יש לנהוג לומר, רק מזמור זה. He's at the bila, you should say this mizmor. Because it has the kabana. Now, based on what we're saying as well, that any time we're involved in anything that has to do with the yesod, what's the reaction of tikkun ha-yesod? There's bichiya. So then, but that child's crying is the perfect, because he never had a problem with the yesod. That bichiya is not a tikkun for yesod. He just made tikkun ha-yesod by getting rid of the orla. So therefore, at the time of the bichiya, there's no purity. After that, once when he's making crying for averot, so it's a different phenomenon. Now, if that's the case, so now we understand something else. The holy books say, David Baruch Abba, Baruch Abba. No, we're not saying Tehillim for the people in Pittsburgh. Don't worry. I have the Tehillim open, but we're not praying for them. Don't worry. Don't hoshesh us for praying for them. Okay, good. I'll just get it. Anyway, the holy books bring down that at the end of time, the nisayon of the Yetzer Hara is going to be in Arayot. That's going to be the final test in immorality. That's like we see in our times today, that the biggest avon today that's plaguing the people, as we said many times, if you remember, the Zohar writes that when Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the angel, so it says, while he wasn't able to affect Yaakov personally, he gave him a shot in the leg. And by that, Yaakov was limping. So the Mikubalim write that the legs of Yaakov represent what comes out of Yaakov, which represent his children. That means although the Satan wasn't able to influence Yaakov negatively, but he put that influence in the children. That means when Yaakov is limping, that's a siman la'atid avor that Klai Yisrael is going to feel that tum'ah. And if you remember that I explained it, that where did he put the tum'ah? He put the tum'ah of Yaakov in the hip, right over here. Now, who would believe it, but that's where the Satan lives. That's where you put the cell phone. That's where you put the, all the gadgets. So that becomes this, that. I don't believe this is a coincidence.
Where you put the gun.
But the gun is not so dangerous, more like a cell phone. The gun protects you. The gun is not a dangerous thing. The gun protects you. The cell phone doesn't protect you.
Good guy.
I'm not talking about that. We're talking about the and you missed the first part. We're talking about immorality over here. The gun is not in the end of immorality. The gun is violence. We're talking about over here that when he hit him in this spot over here, the Satan said there's going to come a time where this spot is going to become my spot. And today, every kid's walking around with a movie theater. Every kid's walking around with all this gadgetry that he has. And he has access to things that are clearly inappropriate, like we learned yesterday in Ya'lazu Hasidim. And that's going to be the Nisayon at the end of time. Listen, today they have, what the Gemara says, Mi'utan ba'arayot. And Baruch said at the end of time, it's going to be Rubam be'gezer ve'rubam ba'arayot. That immorality is going to be rampant. So what's the tikkun of that then? The tikkun at the end of time is going to be bar minan b'chiyot. That's why the Mekubalim write that at the end of time there's going to be so much tsa'ar and so much cries, and the people are going to cry. That crying, those tears are part of the tikkun. That's why a person shouldn't be embarrassed to cry when he is a tragedy. If he sheds some tears at a moment like that, the Goyim say men don't cry. Men have to be. On the contrary, that's the reason why Hashem sometimes brings these sarot to arouse the bichiyot. Today we don't have Pinchas to come up and give us a musar. We don't have Pinchas to come and cause us to cry like he did in the Navi over here. But the Yisurim that happen, so a person cannot be, what should I say, aloof to these things. Things happen, okay, it didn't happen over here, they go, we're okay. When you hear bad news like that, and you me'orer yourself to, like it says in the Gemara, kula bokeh al adam kasher. It says, anybody that cries on adam kasher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moneh v'sofer et ha-dema'ot. God counts the dema'ot. U'manichom bet genazav. And he places the dema'ot in bet genazav. And that's even the tears of a rasha. The Gemara says that when Esav in this week's parasha cried when he didn't get the beracha, we're still paying for those tears that Esav cried from the time he lost the beracha. Which means even when Rasha sheds tears, that's how powerful it is. So based on this, we understand now a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that at the end of time, they're going to go to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and they're going to try to arouse the Zechut Avot in order to bring the final Ge'ula. And Avraham Avinu is not going to be able to bring the Ge'ula, and Yitzhak Avinu is not going to be able to bring the Ge'ula, and not Yaakov Avinu is not going to be able to bring the Ge'ula. And the final Ge'ula, they say, is going to come in Bezchutu, Rachel Imenu. They say, why Rachel Imenu? Rachel Mevaka Al Baneha. Because Rachel is crying. The Avot came along with claims. So they say, claims, you can answer a claim. But when somebody comes without a claim, when somebody just comes and cries, the only way to answer that is said, okay, stop crying. Okay, you got, she didn't say anything. Rachel mevaka al baneha. That's the language of the final galut. Rachel mevaka. The only way you could answer somebody that's crying, she's not saying a claim. She's not saying, redeem them because of this. Rachel mevaka. That means the tikkun of the tears of Rachel Imenu is to betaken all this immorality. Whenever you see immorality, you're going to see crying. And therefore, at the end of time, when it says Rachel Mevakal Baneha, that must be because there's immorality. Therefore, Rachel Mevakal Baneha. That's always going to see it. Like you see it over here, like you see it at the Brit Milah, like you see it at the end of time. That's why the only way we can have a redemption is through these bechiyot. That's inyan of the bechiya. That's the inyan. So therefore, Rachel Imenu at the end of time has this great koach in order to make the tikkun for us and help us and help us come out of this. In any event, there's a remez in that chapter in the Tehillim where David HaMelech writes, "Ashe bechol laila mitati." I will converse with you, God, every night at my bed. Bidim'ati arsi amse. Bidim'ati, with my tears, arsi amse. My bed is soaked with the tears. And that's in the same pasuk of the Brit Milah. So you see that again, where there's Brit Milah and Yesod, there's Bechiyot. And therefore, explain, and then he says in the Sforno, Kol Bechi Sha'are Dim'alun in Alu. Now, there's an interesting targum. I don't know if it's in this book that we have. It should be. Amazing targum. With this introduction, we can understand it. The 20th chapter in Tehillim is Lam Naseach Mizmor LeDavid Ya'ancha Hashem B'Yom Sara. He knows it. The famous one. Ya'ancha Hashem B'Yom Sara. So the Targum says, "Yekabel slota kashem biyomad de'aka." God should accept your prayers on yomad de'aka, on a day of aka, a day of trouble. But what's the day of trouble? We don't have other Targums on the Tehillim. There's a Targum on the Tehillim. Let's see if you'll have it here. Somebody will bring it. Otherwise, I'll just quote it to you from the Sefer. Yom Sara. Mother. Maybe in the back. There's a special Targum. Sometimes they put a Targum in the back. No. So he quotes over here. and the Tehillim. On Yancha Hashem B'Yom Sara. He says like this. He writes over here, Rabotai, that there's a Targum that says, Yancha Hashem B'Yom Sarah. First, he quotes what we quoted over here from Rav Eliyahu Gutmacher. But at the time of the Brit Milah, that's the time to pray. Then he says that in the Pasuk, it says, Yancha Hashem B'Yom Sarah. Oh, no, here it is. Okay, I remember. So, B'Yom Sarah. Sorry for the later botah, but if we're going to put the sources for this Hiddush, at least we should have them correctly. So here it is. Right, he says, "Kamo shekatuv yesh betargum yancha Hashem b'yom sara." B'yomad mehulta. Oh. So B'yom Tzara is Yomad de Mehulta, on the day of the Brit.
Mahu.
On the day that they do the Milah. That's Yancha Hashem B'yom Tzara. B'yom HaMishi, Yom HaMilah Hu Et Rason Lef'ol Yishuot B'chol Ha'inyanim. Ayen Shut Sitzel Yezer Helechav Siman Ayin Gimal. So therefore there is a Targum like that. They once asked Rav Chaim V'lajana. Chaim V'lajana had the great yeshiva. All the gedolim came out of V'lajana. It's the mother of the yeshivot, they said. So one of the Rosh Yeshivas came to him and said, what is the secret of V'lajana that, you know, all these great tzaddikim came out of it? So he told them, he said, when you built your yeshiva, you had a groundbreaking ceremony? He said, yes. He said, tell me what you did at the groundbreaking ceremony. So we brought the rabbis, speeches. You know, we did the whole tickets. He said, okay, very good. That's the difference. He says, by our groundbreaking, the night before, I went to the property and I cried the Tehillim the whole night that we should be zochet to teach Torah Lashem Shamayim. So the next day when we broke ground, the ground was already moist from the tears that we cried the night before. He says, Hazore'im b'dem'a b'rina yiksoru. He says, we planted this ground and softened it with the dema'ot. So you see that there's an inyan over here of the tefillah, like it says in the Gemara, Sha'arit Dema'a lo nina'alu. I once asked one of the rabbis, what does it mean the gates of Dema'a, of tears, are not closed? What does it mean, Sha'arit Dema'a lo nina'alu? The gates of tears are not closed. So he said, very simple, he said, if you have a door that's closed, so nobody can get in. However, underneath the door there's a gap between the bottom of the door and the floor. The tears can get underneath the door. So even though the gate is closed, but tears, you can put a note underneath. So Sha'arei Dema'alu Nina'alu, because the tears have a way to seep through the gap of the door in Shamayim. And Borei Olam has a tradition we have from Borei Olam, that when it comes to tefillot that have bichiyot in them, so therefore that already has an extra tikkun. So that's the introduction, at least to the second perek, and the sword of Bichiya. One word quickly on the parasha that we are learning. On the parasha that we are learning is Toledot. So there's a famous Rashi in the beginning of this parasha. So you remember they were praying. they were praying. They didn't have children, Yitzhak and Rivka, for a while. Ve'yatar Yitzhak l'Hashem lenokach eshtok yakarahi. So the question is, they were praying because she was akara. But what it sounds like they were getting nervous at that to pray. Vayater is a strong tefillah. Although Yitzhak was guaranteed to have children. He knew he was going to have children. That wasn't a question if he was going to have children. He didn't think for 1 minute he's going to go barren. He'd be Yitzhak and Karele Chazara. The Zara is going to come from Yitzhak. He had no question on that. Unless you say, you're right, but he was praying that he wanted the Zera to come from Rivka. He didn't want it to come from a different wife because he saw that the Rivka was a great tzaddik. So that's why he was praying, not because for children, it should come from Rivka. Right, the Nokah Ashto, exactly. It should come from his wife. That's one way of saying it. But there's another way of saying it. If you look at Nashi, Nashi says, Vayatid lo. Who did God answer? God answered Yitzhak. Lo, lamidvav, lo, velo la. She'en dome tefilat sadik ben sadik letfilat sadik ben rasha. How do you learn that? What does it mean? She'en dome tefilat sadik ben sadik letzadik ben rasha. What do those words mean? That the tefilot are not similar. She'en dome. What do you mean, endomet? The tefillot are definitely similar. They're praying the same tefillah. The tefillot were different. The tefillot are the exact same tefillot. They're praying for children. What does that she mean? She endomet. Now, if you want to tell me, she tefillat sadik ben sadik yoter mekubelet.
Oh.
Okay, no problem. You give me a rule like that. I accept that rule. But she doesn't tell me that. That she doesn't say, Tefilat Sadiq ben Sadiq Yoter Mekubelet Ben Sadiq Ben Rasha. Okay, that's a clue. But the Tefilot were definitely Domot. What? He was praying for children. What was she praying for? For the same thing. Maybe even more so than Yitzhak, because she knew she was barren. She was the one that had the problem. So if anything, her Tefilah is even stronger than in the sense of the similarity of what they were praying for. But then she throws a word in and he says, She'en Domeh. Tefilat Sadiq ben Sadiq. What's it? Endome. Why is the Tefilat the same? They were praying from the same book. By the way, when they give the Hatam Bekala, she gets the pink book or the white book, and he gets the blue book. What's the difference? Nothing. It's the same words. They're praying different Tefilot. They instead of selling one book, they sold two books with different colors, and then they're going to make double the profit. So what does that mean? So the Mefashim over here, they say over here a big hadush. The Gemara in Baba Metzi'ah in Pehe. You want to bring it? Bring it. Look at it. I might as well look at it exactly. Good. There's Tosfot over there too. Pe el Pe adaber bo. The Gemara over there Metzi'ah da Pehe says that there's a big inyan that when a person has three generations of Torah. Exactly, very good. So Gemara says, and the name of Rabbi Parnach. Gemara's Lashon is here. Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Kol Shu Tamid Hakam, Ubenot Tamid Hakam, Uben Benot Tamid Hakam. So you have three generations of scholars. Shuv en Torah poseket mizar'o. You just solidified that the Torah will never leave that family. Le'olam she'ne'emar va'ani zot b'riti. God says, I'm making a covenant. Lo yamushu mepicha u'mepi zar'acha u'mepi zera zar'acha amar Adonai ma'ata v'ad olam. Finished. It's an automatic. It's forever. So that's a that's the Gemara. Tosfot in Ketubot on Samech Bet. When I mean the Tosfot Ketubot, just so we can see the sources inside, so we don't mess this up. We want to see everything inside, so we don't say it wrong. Tosfot adds one condition to this rule over here. Tosfot is in Samech Bet Amud Bet. Tosfot says on Samech Bet Amud Bet, on the Gemara that says Vahutam Shulash Lo Bemerai Yenatek. It's also when you have a triple cord, so the triple cord doesn't break. Shulam Melek, exactly. Hutam Shulash. One cord you can break. Two cords, it's a little more difficult. Three cords, Hutam Shulash Lo Bemerai Yenatek. So the Gemara says on that. Talks about over here the same thing that the Gemara in Mitziah talks about. Three generations. So Gemara says you have three generations. Hutam shulash lo b'merai yinatek. It has a strength. Here it is on the bottom. So Tosfot says on this triple generation of a father and a child and a grandson, he says, לפי שלושתן ראו זה את זה. חזק ברוך. כדאמרינן בעלמא, שאמר בהושעיה, דבר בעתו ושאלו רביסה, לקקרי עליו החוט המשולש, כלומר לא ינתק מזרו לעולם, רק עושה זה מציעה, כיוון שאדם לומד הוא ובנו ובן בנו, מכאן ואיר הקטונה חוזרת אלכסניה שלה. So Tosfot learns a condition that it's דווקא ברואים זה את זה. So if you come along and say, oh, my great-grandfather in Halab, he was one generation, and then there was another one after, but they didn't see each other. No, it's got to be ברואים זה את זה. What's the advantage of רואים זה את זה? It's obvious. When a person has the advantage of seeing the previous generations before him, so he's able to see how far he is away from the previous generation's level. We call it Yiridat HaDorot. There's an advantage to see Zekenim. There's an advantage to see the elder, because that brings a person to humility. A person's going to come along and think, oh yeah, I'm better than my grandfather, because he never saw his grandfather. But if he would see his grandfather, and he would see the way they served, so you would see, what would it be? There's an advantage to see your grandfather. My grandfather, Alav HaShalom, was, I was able to see him. He was a businessman. Wasn't a Tamin Hakam. But he learned more than a regular Tamin. When I went to Israel with him, what was his schedule when we went to Israel first? No, forget about the time he got up. You know, he got up early. Then he's up. Okay, we prayed at 6 o'clock at the hotel. We bring the newspapers in. Everyone knows the story. Okay, now at 6 o'clock, we're done. He would go to the yeshiva of Rabbi Bezalel Toledano. First said that by Rabbi Chaim Bezalel. My grandmother walks in with his cap, with his attache case. What are you doing, Grandpa? We learn over here, Torah, and he goes to the shiur of Chaim Bezalel. So 10 days we're in Israel. Every day he goes to the shiur of Chaim Bezalel Toledano. But he's sitting with 18-year-olds. They're laughing at him. What is this guy doing over here? Meaning he didn't learn in the hotel, open up Mishnayot. He went to a yeshiva to sit in the shiur with the Rosh Yeshivas to learn with them. And he told them before he came, tell me what Gemara they're learning in the yeshiva, so he could have a little You know, and of course, after he says, oh yeah, we learned it with Acham Matlub, this Gemara, and he quotes the Rambam, different level. If I take my kids to Israel today, am I in the level I take them to a yeshiva, to sit with, I won't do it. I'm not my grandfather. I'm sitting there all day long. I won't do it. I don't have the guts to do that. I don't have the guts to do that. My grandfather, we lived in Florida. She used to go for the summers, for the winters. He lived in, he lived uptown in North Miami Beach. He had a condominium there. But he loved Rabbi Galamidi. He loved him. Rabbi Galamidi at the time was on 41st Street. That's his first gig, was over there. And before he opened up the place on at the end on Alton over there, he was in Beit Yisrael in the back. In the back, Rabbi Shapiro Alevashu had the shul, and in the back, that minyan of Rabbi Galamidi. My grandfather loved the Hachamim. And there was an old Ashkenaz rabbi that gave Harambam there. So my grandfather would drive every morning from all the way downtown, 40 minutes this way, 40 minutes that way in the morning and travel there, just to get to the Shi'urim. Today, we're going to go interrupt ourselves on a vacation to go drive. And it wasn't because he didn't have what to do. He had what to do. But he enjoyed the Shi'urim, so he drove all over the place to hear the Shi'urim, the Ve'et Torah. The point is, because we witnessed it, we're better off because of that. We have an advantage. So Tosfot says, Beroim ze'etze. Because when you're able to have the advantage of seeing the generations, so that already inspires the younger generation what it was, what they're missing, what the level it is, and they become, what should I say, they become a little more humbled because of it, because they see. But if a person doesn't see greatness before him in his own family, so then he's not going to have too much nothing to look up to, and then he has a low aspiration. So based on this, if you look in the Torah itself, in Parashat, I guess it's Vayichi. What does it say in Vayichi? The pasuk says, the pasuk says in Vayichi, Perek Nun, at the end of it, it says, Vayar Yosef le Ephraim b'nesh leshim. Yosef was able to benefit in Ephraim, a third generation. That means you had Yosef, you had Ephraim, and Ephraim had his children. So he had B'nai Shel Leshim.
Didn't start with Yaakov?
I'm talking about Yosef now. I'm talking about Yosef. Start from Adam Rishon. I want me to go from Adam Rishon, I go from Adam Rishon. It starts from Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon had Cain and Hebel.
But the three were alive at the same time?
That's what I'm reading over here. The pasuk says, Vayar Yosef.
He saw it.
Vayar means he saw it. That means he was alive. Vayar Yosef, Gam b'nei Machir ben Menashe. Also, when it came to Menashe, he saw Menashe, and he saw Menashe's son, Machir. Yuledu al Birkei Yosef. They were born al Birkei Yosef, on the lap of Yosef. So, the simple interpretation is, he raised them, basically. He raised them. On his lap, he raised them. He raised his grandchildren. No, so now what happens is, the pasuk says like this, Yulidu al Birkei Yosef. Birkei Yosef could mean the lap of Yosef. They were raised on his lap, which is an advantage to them. But they also say that when a person bows, kilichat tichra kol berich, the bowing is on the berich. The bowing represents the humility. When a person bows in front of somebody, that means he subjugates himself. The fact that they were able to see their grandfather, that created to them an inyan of Birkei Yosef. Birkei Yosef means to subjugate themselves to to a higher level. It brought them to the humility because they were able to see these high madrigals. But the pasuk said it only worked. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, "Vayar Yosef le'Ephraim." They saw it like Tosfot says. They had to be alive at the same time, and they had to be together. If that's the case, so now we go back to something that's very, very, very significant. We go back to our story. Moshe knew how long he was going to live for. How did Moshe know how long he was going to live for? The Mekubalim say that when major events happen in a tzaddik's life, so there's a remez that this is his, tikkun that he came to the world. So in that event is a remez of his life, of how long he's going to live. One of the major events in Moshe's life, one of the beginning, the first events that happened was the burning bush. That's when his career begins. So the Mekubalim write that it says he comes to the snare. If you take the word hasenare, here is five. And the last hair is also five, that's ten. And then what do you have? Samech and Nun. Samech is 60. Samech. And Nun is how much?
50, 120 total.
Chazak Baruch. 110 plus 10. Wow. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew, when God repeated him in Hasenei, he said, this is God, tell me, this is your tikkun of life. Hasenei Gematria, 120. One of Abraham's great accomplishments amongst all of them was after he finished the 10 Nishyonot, unless we spell Ashah, then he goes and buys the Ma'arat HaMachpelah. So if you take the word Machpelah, do the math, Elliot, Mem is 40, Chaf is 20.
60.
That's 60. Machpeh, Peh is how much? 80.
140.
140. Lamed Heh is 35.
175.
Machpelah is Gematria 175. As a matter of fact, they say that Avram was supposed to live to 180. That's what they called Ma'arat HaMachpelah. He was really supposed to live to 180 because it's really Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the extra hair. But God took off 5 years, so he shouldn't see Esav go off the derech. So therefore, it really should have been HaMachpelah, but it became Machpelah. Now, Yitzhak is now having children. Or he's trying to have children. And he knows he's going to have children. He knows he's going to have children. God said, "Ki b'yitzhak yikareh lechazara." We know already that there's going to be kikochavim, the afar ha'aretz. We learned that already. So what was Yitzhak panicking? Yitzhak saying, "But I want my children to see their grandfather." That's the item he says. He says, "If I'm going to have the children and Avraham Avinu's not here anymore, they're going to lose out that advantage of seeing the Zaken, Avraham Zaken, Baba Yamin." So therefore, how old? Avraham's getting older in age. Yitzhak Avinu is 60. That means Avraham is 160 because he had him at 100. Now, if the magic number is 180, that's what they thought. Now. And 5 years are going to be deducted, so he's got 15 years. And as we learned in the Mishnah, we learned in the Seder Ayom, that the first 15 years of the child's life, or the first 20 years, I should say, is the most important. Ben Hamishah leMikra. That's when you start learning Mikra. Ben Eser leMishnah. Ben Hamesh Esreh leTalmud. So therefore he says, the kid's got to get the first 20 years of his life with his grandfather. Because he's got to get the Mikra, the Mishnah, and the Gemara until he's 20. If he doesn't get that advantage, he's not going to be the same kid. So therefore, Yitzhak Avinu has to, we have to pray now, which is at 60, he said, this is the cutoff point. At 60 is the cutoff point. He says, we cannot wait anymore for a later time. Not because I'm not going to have children, because I want my father to see the children. Not because I want my father to have nahat, to see his grandchildren, take him to a football game, to benefit the spiritual benefit of it. And therefore, it's true that Yitzhak and Rivka were praying for children. But Enod Domeh, it was a different tefillah. Because he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik. So since he's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, he's praying that he should have the child to see his father. She was a tzaddiket bat rasha. So she cannot pray that prayer that I want him to be alive for Lavan Betuel to see. Betuel to see it. So therefore, that she goes out of his way and says, Enodomeh. The tefillah was not the same. They were saying two different tefillot over there. It has to be different. She cannot pray the same tefillah that Yitzhak prayed. And Baruch Hashem, his tefillah was answered. And the Hidah writes that they lived together for 15 years. And he writes that on these 15 years, they would learn together. You had Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov sitting together in the Midrash, the Hidah says, learning Torah. And because of that, we have three generations of continual Torah. They established the Inyan of Ba'ata Ba'ad Olam. Now, we are lucky. We are very lucky in that sense. You know, maybe Yanki, you told me, or somebody told me, that by the Ashkenazim, you know, a grandfather doesn't exist. We had grandfathers. That's what Sandra told me, this story. Sandra, when she went to buy a dress for one of the weddings, so she went into one of the stores in Borough Park. So she was there, my mother was there, and her mother was there. So the lady in Borough Park said, who are these two people over here? They said, this is the grandmothers, God bless them, of the bride. So the lady says, wow, you have grandmothers? Two of them? It's like it's, you have two of them. Two grandmothers. He says, by the Ashkenazim, they were wiped out. They wiped out. There's no such thing as that. The generations ended. So you don't have that advantage of seeing, you know, the Dorot before them, which was one of the... And that's what one of the tzaddikim said regarding the Holocaust. He said, ki achalit Yaakov. That's the first thing they did. Achalit Yaakov. But ve'etnavehu heshamu. They also broke the house of Yaakov, which represents the... That in the Jewish home, when you have the three generations together, but the bigger damage was Vetnaveu Eshamu. They took the Jewish home of that on a Friday night. What does that Friday night consist of? A father, a child, grandson. You have three generations, and that's why the books bring down that whenever you have three generations at the table, speak the Torah. Learn. Don't lose that moment over there. Because when you have three generations sitting at a table. So you have a way to ensure that the Torah will never leave your family. So therefore, don't just talk. Take a sefer out, read a mishnah, and get the three generations involved in the limud. So the fahod, if you have that blessing, and it's a blessing of God. You can't take it for granted. You can't take it for granted that it's so common in our community. This, because in some communities, it's the rarest thing in the world. That to the extent they say, you have two grandmothers? That's like a double lottery you want. Two grandmothers. I said, hold it. But we also have, she also has three great-grandmothers. What? Great-grandmothers? Yeah. My grandmother Renee, she had five generations. Nothing easy. She had five generations easy. They took a picture. One, two, three, four, five. And if she would have lived another couple of years, she would have had six generations. That's, we're spoiled. God bless us from that. But is it a responsibility? So that's why Avraham Avinu or Yitzhak Avinu was a tzaddik ben tzaddik. So therefore his tefillah was critical at the 20-year line. Because he said, the kid needs at least, he didn't get 20 because Avraham died early because Esau went up. But at least he got 15 years. And those 15 years was already the protection of the families of Avraham Yitzhak, which ultimately bring us to Beracha. Amar Adonai Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. Amen Ve'amen.